Let's read together Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11. Page 1119 in your pew Bibles. Page 1119. Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11. God is bringing comfort to Israel, and Israel's called to spread the glad tidings of that comfort. Isaiah 40, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double, that is double blessing for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Or it should be translated perhaps, Zion, you who bring good tidings, go up on a high mountain. Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, behold your God. Here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And let's turn also to Luke 2. We turn to Luke 2 after Joseph and Mary have gone to Bethlehem. Mary has given birth to her firstborn in the city of David, Bethlehem, as God had promised and prophesied, and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And now we have the first birth announcement. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all those who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And there ends the reading of God's word. May he bless us by it. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when your baby is born and you've got him or her all wrapped up and you've held him a few minutes, now it's time to grab your phone and start calling. And you know how it is. You've got your contact list ready and in the proper order. And dads, you don't dare start by calling the mechanic first or your wife's hairdresser. That's not where you start. You're going to get in trouble if you do that. You have things in the right order. Her parents first, then his parents, and then her siblings, and then your siblings, then maybe the mechanic or the hairdresser. But you got to get that right. Well, when the Son of God was born as the son of the Virgin Mary, God's contact list was, we might think, a little out of order, a little unusual. And he started with a group of shepherds living in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Verse 8. It was that season where they stayed out in pasture all the time, the sheep did, and the shepherds lived there. That was their home. I'm sure they were not very clean, not just the sheep, but the shepherds. Smelling, weary, sweaty. You'd think that the Lord would have started with the heads of state, since the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was being born, the one who would be great and who would rule the nations and sit in the throne of his father David, beginning the kingdom of God that would last forever, that he would go to the religious leaders, the power brokers. But no, the first group on his contact list, shepherds living in the fields nearby. A Savior has been born to you. And we want to see the birth announcements to the shepherds that he is the shepherd's Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How they heard the good news of their Savior, first of all. And then how they saw the good news of the Savior. And then how they spread the good news of their Savior. They heard, they saw, they spoke. Those are the three things that we want to look through in our text. They heard, first of all. They heard the good news of their Savior. And verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to these shepherds while they're out in the fields nearby the cave or the stall where Jesus was born. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. If you just look back one chapter to verse 19, when the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah, it's clear how that happened. Gabriel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent. I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news, Gabriel said to Zechariah. And now this happens the same way. God in heaven points to one of his angels, maybe Gabriel, maybe someone else. You go to those shepherds in that field and tell them the Savior has been born. And so the angel came to the shepherds at night and brought good news sent by God himself. Even the angels worship him, the Christ, and serve our salvation by announcing him. So they heard an announcement of heavenly glory. This is an announcement from heaven, congregation. Heaven is breaking through to the earth. Don't take that lightly. The glory of the Lord shone around them. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. It used to be when Adam and Eve were without sin that heaven and earth lived in sweet accord. Heaven was on earth. God walked and talked with Adam and Eve. There was sweet fellowship and harmony all the time. Heaven and earth connected. And then we sinned. And sin separated us from our God, and we were sent out of the garden, and heaven and earth were disconnected, and God would make occasional visits in his grace. But now he's breaking through the barrier of sin once for all and living among us, becoming one of us, God with man residing. This is amazing. Of course, they were terrified because God, when he visits, should come to judge us and destroy us in our sin. But this is love coming down. Heaven coming down to break through the barrier of sin with salvation, to bring peace to man and glory to God by reconnecting heaven and earth again. It's an announcement of heavenly glory. And they heard this announcement in the midst of the earthly ordinary. Look at verses 10 and 11. Right in the midst of the earthly ordinary breaks the announcement of heavenly glory. Verse 10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, born to you. To you shepherds out here doing your work in the field, smelly, tired, sweaty, Savior has been born to you. Oh, it's more than to just the shepherds. This good news of great joy is for all people, verse 10. Later, Simeon will say, this baby is salvation for all people, even a light to the Gentiles. Now, normally a birth announcement would go like this. A baby boy has been born to Mary. A baby boy has been born to Mary, the mother, and Joseph, the guardian, or something like that. He's their baby. But this one is different. A baby has been born to you. He's your baby, shepherds. And yours. And yours. He's born to you. He's your baby. He's your salvation. He's your Savior. And now today we may say, he's your crucified one, your risen one, your ascended, reigning, ruling one. He's for you. But it came specifically to these shepherds. A very deliberate act of God with a very important message for us. God breaks out his good news in the midst of a very ordinary group of people. Even lower than ordinary. Shepherds were generally poor and uneducated. Often had the reputation of being lowlifers. Not reliable. Even scoundrels. It's to them the message comes. Wow. The point is, Jesus is for everybody. No matter what station or class. He's for you. What will you do? What will you do with him? And this good news came to them right in the midst of their ordinary everyday work. Taking care of the sheep. Milking the cows. Fixing the computers. Wiring the house. Cleaning the bathroom. Jesus Christ is good news, brothers and sisters, that addresses you right in the middle of your ordinary life. It doesn't take you out of that life. But it saves you in the middle of it so that you can do this life in a whole new way. Like the shepherds, they didn't quit being shepherds. They returned to their flocks, glorifying and praising God. A light had shone into the darkness of their life, a message of salvation. They had peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that changed everything in the ordinary life. Wow. And do you know that everyone to whom Christ comes and converts, when Christ comes to you and gives you faith, opens your heart and saves you, this very same experience of the shepherds, the glory of the Lord shining around them, is yours. It's happened to you. That's your experience. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 4, the God who said, let light shine in the darkness, has caused his light to shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Have you seen his glory? Are you opening your eyes to hear the good news that he gives to you so that you might receive this glory and know this glory in your everyday life? When you go off to work again, you see everything with new eyes. It's an announcement of heavenly glory in the midst of the earthly ordinary, an announcement of a joyful story. To you is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Oh, this story looks so ordinary and lowly. This is a sign to you. You'll see a baby wrapped in strips of linen cloth, lying in a manger. So ordinary and lowly, but at the same time so extraordinary and holy, as seen in his three wonderful titles. He's a Savior to you. He's a Christ. He's the Lord. Savior means deliverer. It's a strong one, word used in the Bible. Meaning the one who rises up to rescue you and deliver you from death and whatever sin an enemy is destroying you. That's what deliverer means. from the iron grip that Satan has on you to save you from God's judgment and curse. That's who he is. Your Savior, your Deliverer, your Rescuer. The one congregation, the Savior born to you, has come to release you from your pride and your anger and your lust and your resentment and from the bottle that can have such a grip on you or the love of sport that can take over your life, put you in a headlock and control you. He's come to save you and me. And he's Christ, meaning the anointed one, the prophet, the priest, and the king, the prophet who's brought God's last word, final forward of salvation, the priest who's offered the final and full sacrifice to release you from your guilt, the king, the powerful one to subdue your rebellion and bring you shalom. All the prophets, priests, and kings that have risen have not yet accomplished this, but this one will. He's the Savior. He's the Christ and the Lord. That's his divine title. He's Jehovah. He's the God of the covenant. He's the mighty one. He's the divinely powerful one. And you see in those three names born to you, Savior, Christ, Lord. And those three names, that there's nothing in him that would be an obstacle to prevent you from coming to him. He's got all the love, all the compassion, all the understanding, all the power that you need. And if there's an obstacle keeping you from coming to him, it's in yourself. You're scared to let go of your idols. You have some pet love in your life. You're afraid to let go of because then you think you're going to lose your peace and your happiness and your joy and your fulfillment. And that's what idols are. They are a lie. There's someone or something in life that you put your trust in, look for security in place of or alongside of God. And that's why you don't want the Lord Jesus. You're scared of letting go of the idol that's going to end up killing you. There's no obstacle in him. He's got it all. Look at the three names. He's got it all. And it's for you. Come to him. Take refuge in him. Repent before him. Believe in him. They heard. Secondly, they saw the good news. After a whole heavenly army of angels confirmed the good news that the angel spoke by shouting, "Glory to God in the highest." We hope to look at that. Those two verses tomorrow morning. We'll skip over them now. After a whole heavenly army of angels confirmed the message spoken by the angel of the Lord, the shepherds talked to one another. I would have loved to have heard that conversation. Verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Let's go. They talked to each other. Let's see. And they hurried off, it says. They made haste. You remember the old translation. They hurried off. This good news of salvation holds all the urgency and all the importance that any message could ever hold. No good news like this has ever come to planet Earth. Could you imagine them saying, "Yeah, that doesn't fit our schedules. We'll be there in a month. Yeah, we'll wait a while. We've got other things going." Isn't that how sometimes we respond to the gospel? You may have grown up with the message of Jesus. And now in your teens or 20s or even 30s. And have never hurried off to take refuge in Christ. And just be showing up out of custom, tradition, superstition. But Jesus, you could really give a rip about him. As long as you got these other things in your life. Oh, let us not treat the gospel that way and damn ourselves. Hurried off to meet the salvation that they've been told about. And to check it out for themselves. They were investigative. On the one hand, they didn't dismiss the heavenly vision, the glory of the Lord appearing about them, being narrow-minded and holding, like many do today, to a closed universe. There is no God. Miracles are impossible. There is no possibility that there's a God who created heaven and earth that can now appear and invade and enter heaven, enter earth. No, that's impossible. No, they didn't. They weren't narrow-minded in that sense, holding to a closed universe. They They believe there's a creator who made heaven, earth, everything in them and can invade anytime he wants. But at the same time, they said, we got to go check out these facts. There's a sign given to us. Let's go check it out to see if these things are true. And we must do the same. Check out the facts. Study the scriptures. Study these eyewitness accounts. You know, if Luke was telling a myth, he would never have told it like this. If he's trying to dupe us into believing a lie, he would never have shepherds as the first witnesses of the birth of Christ. They were unreliable. Their witness didn't even count in a court of law. That's what kind of reputation they had. Oh, he's a shepherd. No. We can't admit his witness here in this court. So if this were not true, if he was making this stuff up, he wouldn't have told it this way. It bears all the marks of history, not mythology. Well, they went. This good news was their first priority. Salvation? Salvation? We need it. We're not right with God. We're under judgment. We're under a curse. We need to put a rush on this. They hurried off. They went to see for themselves, and it was exactly as they were told. And these men were the first witnesses of the birth of Christ. Luke tells us in chapter 1, he's an early scientist, a medical doctor, and an investigative journalist. He tells us at the beginning of the book to Theophilus the Gentile, I've carefully investigated all the details and put together an orderly account. He interviewed the eyewitnesses. It's almost certain that he would have met one or two or three of these shepherds, sat down with them, and got their story. And inspired by the Holy Spirit. And hearing from others how, yeah, they told us their story too. God put together this word for us. And they saw everything just as they had been told. Verse 20 tells us that at the end, they saw everything just, they heard and saw everything just as they had been told. And they saw him. What a moment that must have been. The sign that the one you meet is the Savior, Christ the Lord. He's going to meet a baby. He's going to be wrapped in linen cloths and he's going to be in a manger. There's the key. Connect the dots. When you meet a sign that meets all those qualifications, that's God come down to you in the flesh to save you. Wow. Here was this baby, their Savior. They set their eyes upon the Savior of the world. In a day when Caesar was called the Savior of Rome, the source of the peace of Rome, the Pax Romana, whose name was Divi Filius, remember the Son of God, Augustus, the Majestic One. They met the one who's the only true Savior, not Caesar, and the only one who brings true peace on earth. And the only one who's truly the Son of God, truly the Majestic One to be worshipped and adored. This baby was fully God, omniscient. That one lying there, knowing all things. Omnipotent, almighty. Omnipresent, present everywhere. But he laid aside those divine privileges. He still had that divinity, but he laid aside those divine privileges and glory for a manger. He became fully man for our sake. He would not exempt himself from any pressure of human life, from any situation, from any humiliation and suffering and temptation, from any shame, from any suffering or hell. He would take it all. To become one with us in our sin and misery and damnation. That's the one they saw. To rescue us, take our place and rescue us from the curse and the darkness and the damnation and the death and the grave. And then rise again to share eternal life and eternal blessing with us. That's who this baby is. God has given us his son. He's given him to us. And now we must hurry to see him in the scriptures and receive him as our own Savior. And we must go on our knees and humble ourselves before the Savior and accept him. Please do not refuse what God's love has prepared for you and you. Well, then we see thirdly, they spoke. They spread the good news of the Savior. When they had seen him, verse 17, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. These are not only the first witnesses, but the first evangelists. These lowly shepherds, filled with amazement at the gift of God to them. And the news they spread was not just a baby's been born in Bethlehem. There may have been three or four others that night. But the baby who is the Savior, Christ the Lord, has been born. And the first ones they told it to is Joseph and Mary. And Mary treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. She reflected deeply on this, asking herself, what child is this? But they also told everyone they met, not just Mary and Joseph. In fact, they even told you and me, because when Luke interviewed them, the Holy Spirit saw to it that their testimony entered the scriptures, and they told us now. We've heard the good news of great joy from these first witnesses ourselves and these first evangelists ourselves. This is simple evangelism, brothers and sisters. It should fill the hearts, minds, and mouths of everyone who's met the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you've met him directly in the manger or through eyewitness accounts in the Word, through the Word of God. That message should fill our hearts and minds. Go spread the good news. You don't have to be a trained evangelist. You don't have to be an ordained pastor. You just have to be a simple shepherd who has met Jesus Christ. You know who he is, Christ the Lord, and what he's done for you. He died on the cross to save me from my sins and from the wrath of God. And he rose again. We have more to tell than they. And for more reason to spread the good news than they, because they just saw at that moment his birth and they went about telling everybody, we have so much more to tell. God has brought a message of comfort to his Israel. And he says to Zion, go up on a high mountain. Tell the good tidings. Say, behold our God. Here is God. In Jesus Christ his Son, come to save you from your sins. Do not be afraid. Lift up your voice. Say to the cities of Judah. So I ask, how come I'm so quiet about the good news? Why am I so shy to share? Has this good news of great joy not personally gripped our hearts and minds and souls so that we can't help but telling? Hasn't the message of Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, taken your heart captive? Or we could put it this way. Why am I so eager to talk about to people about almost everything except the Savior? So ready to talk about the new truck or car that's hit the market. The latest variety of Lay's potato chips. Or Apple iPhone. Or the latest model of Fendt. Or the new diet or exercise program that's changed my life. And yet the best news that has ever hit the planet. No, I don't like to talk about that. Heaven has come down. God has become a man to save our lives from our sins and give us eternal life. A message which is for all people. Believe in him and be saved forever. Believe him not and be condemned forever. How much do you have to hate somebody to know that they're going to hell and not to tell them a way out? I learned that from an atheist. Somebody pointed me to, I'm trying to think of his name now, Penn Jillette. An atheist, doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in Jesus, doesn't believe in the Bible. But he was recently asked what he thought about Christians trying to evangelize him. And he said, I have high respect for them. And then Penn said, how much do you have to hate somebody to believe that that person's going to hell? And that you have the remedy for him and a person named Jesus Christ and not tell him that? Not warn him? Not tell him you've got good news? How much do you have to hate somebody? And then Penn said, if I really believed a truck was coming toward somebody on the street and was going to kill them, that truck was going to kill them, even if that person didn't see the truck or didn't believe the truck was coming, I would take extreme measures to get them out of the way. Oh, Zion, herald of good news. get up on a high mountain and spread the good tidings. We're just shepherds, aren't we? These guys remain shepherds. They returned glorifying and praising God. But now everything changed. They had good news that changed the way they worked, the way they viewed their sheep, the way they viewed other people, the way they viewed the world. We have the answer to life for you and you and you. That's the way they lived. Well, may that message, that good news of great joy, so grip us. A Savior has been born to you, has died for sinners, risen for sinners, ascended, reigning, and he's coming back to judge the living and the dead. And may that message grip us and send us out to spread the good news in all our lives, in our everyday calling. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, not only for the birth of Jesus Christ, but for not keeping that hidden, revealing that good news, and making shepherds the first witnesses and the first evangelists. What an encouragement to us. What a reminder to us. What a rebuke to us. And we pray that you will grip our hearts with that good news like you gripped them, not only to hurry off and to make this good news our very own, but to hurry off and tell others. Father, we pray that this Savior, Christ the Lord, will take us captive completely and more. What a Savior. What a gift to us. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen.